This is the Quality News Network. 60% of Americans disapprove of the president's plan to send additional troops to Baghdad and the Anbar province. 65% disapprove of the way President Bush is handling the Iraq war in general. That's according to the latest LA Times Bloomberg poll. In Baghdad today, Iraqi forces backed by U.S. troops captured one of radical cleric Murtada al-Sadr's most important aides, his media spokesman. The arrest signals the seriousness of the upcoming security crackdown in Iraq's capital city. Defense Secretary Robert Gates is wrapping up another unannounced visit to Iraq today. He's been in Basra, where 3 of the 7,000 British troops stationed there are expected to leave by the end of the year. Israel has turned over $100 million of Palestinian taxes to Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas. Israel froze all tax money when militant Hamas won election in March. The payment is thought to shore up the position of moderate Abbas. Jordan's king has told an Israeli newspaper he intends to develop a nuclear program in his country. He says he's already discussed the issue with Western powers. King Abdullah says Jordan's nuclear program would be used for energy. The U.S. is joining other countries reprimanding China for its successful test of an anti-satellite missile. The test represents a significant leap in China's military defensive and offensive capabilities and is a threat to America's own military defense. China says its anti-satellite missile program is no threat to other countries. In Europe, as many as 38 people have been killed in the worst storm of the decade. Hurricane force winds and torrential rains have disrupted travel, destroyed buildings, and shut off power to thousands. In Washington, former Ohio Representative Bob Ney was sentenced today to 30 months in prison for his role in the Jack Abramoff lobbying scandal. Ney pleaded guilty to corruption charges and resigned last fall. In China, police have charged 3 men in the beating death earlier this month of a prominent Chinese journalist investigating safety concerns in the coal mining industry. The men are thought to be employees of a mine owner. China has the most dangerous coal mines in the world. More than 5,000 miners are killed each year. Prominent Turkish writer and newspaper editor Hrant Dink has been assassinated in front of his newspaper. Dink was a vocal critic of Turkey's Armenian genocide. He's been punished by the Turkish government for his writings. You're listening to the Quality News Network. Science and business are next.
Huelhauser talks to customers of First National, South Valley, and San Benito Banks, local members of the network of preferred community banks.
We're here to talk with people about their business banking. Here's a guy who not only banks at the bank, he helped build the bank building.
Yes, sir.
Do you find the fact that it's a local bank appealing?
Yes, that's just it. It was the local people in the community that originally started the bank, and that's why I got involved.
It's a local bank with big bank benefits. It's part of a network of banks. Does
yes.
that mean anything to you?
Absolutely. Having a bank that can handle a big project really helps because some banks aren't tailored to handle big business, and they can handle the big business for sure. They have no limitations to what they can do for your business.
I do my business banking and my personal banking with them.
Both.
Absolutely.
You're double dipping.
You bet.
Above and beyond banking from the network of preferred community banks. Available locally at First National Bank of Central California, South Valley National Bank, and San Benito Bank.
Some of the nation's largest corporations have formed a partnership to lobby President Bush and Congress to move quickly to combat global warming. The group will issue a report to the nation Monday calling for reduction of carbon dioxide emissions and a cap on greenhouse gas emissions. Citigroup quarterly profits fell from the same time last year. Last year's profits were boosted by a business line sale. Despite the drop, the nation's largest bank exceeded Wall Street expectations on earnings of $5.13 billion. McDonald's opened its first drive-through restaurant in Beijing today. The fast food chain has agreed to a partnership with a leading Chinese oil company to build dozens of drive-throughs in the country. Motorola posted quarterly loss, disappointing Wall Street. The cell phone maker announced it would eliminate 3,500 jobs as a cost-cutting measure. Delta Airlines says it will soon discuss the $10.2 billion hostile takeover bid by U.S. Airways. The nation's third largest air carrier filed an amended reorganization plan today. The plan addresses Delta's intentions to deal with claims against its subsidiary, Comair. Light sweet crude is trading at $51 a barrel on the New York Mercantile Exchange. On Wall Street at this hour, the Dow Jones is flat. The Nasdaq is up 3 points. The S&P 500 also up 3 points. Gold is trading at $629.50 an ounce. You can find more at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Annabelle Lund.
Live from Chicago, the city with many names, it's the Cup of Joe Radio Show. 2 hours of truth and fury representing the fighting spirit of the American worker. And now, through the miracle of screaming audio, here's the guy your bosses hate, the Windy City's biggest windbag, your host, Joe Vecchio.
Okay, here we are. It's another Friday here in Chicago, a beautiful, sunny, but cold day here in Chicago. There's still some snow on the ground from this week's snow. There might be some more snow this weekend. Might be some snow for the football game on Sunday. And that's what you kind of expect for a late playoff game in Chicago, to have a lot of snow. And that supposedly will favor the hometown Bears. But we'll see what's happening. I know that I went to the ESPN website to see who their picks would be, and almost to a man, they picked the Saints to win. And the Saints do have a better offense than the Bears, but, you know, we'll see what happens. And we're here at home, and if the weather's really, really bad, I think that'll play to our advantage. I know, it's only sports. Who cares about sports? I'm sorry, you know, but there are some things that I have some disagreements with wingers about. One of them is sports. There's a lot of left-wingers who think sports are irrelevant, and, you know, and yeah, they are in a real sense, but, you know, I can't give it up that easy. And I know there's all the corruption, and football players in particular are a bunch of real right-wingers. They're not the players, but, like, the owners and the people involved with the industry, they're all a bunch of real right-wingers. But I still just like watching it. I'm not as big a fan of football as I am of baseball, which is a true intellectual sport, and which is much more difficult to play. Football is really physical and much more demanding physically, but baseball requires much more subtle skills. I mean, hitting that ball is a damn hard thing. It's coming at you at like 100 miles an hour. Yes, I like hockey too. I enjoy hockey because what's great about hockey is that if there's no goals and no penalties, it's theoretically possible to go through a 20-minute period in 20 minutes, because the players change on the fly. Hockey's the only sport that does that, and that's what makes it really kind of cool. But the thing about hockey and football and basketball and lacrosse and soccer and all these other sports is that they're all variations on the same theme. You have one group of people doing something with an object of some sort, a ball generally, going up against another group of people trying to do something with an object more times in a set time span. And it's all set up differently. Everything's different. Basketball has 4 15-minute quarters. Football has 4 15-minute quarters. Basketball has 4 12-minute quarters. Excuse me. Hockey has 3 20-minute quarters. But, you know, baseball, you don't have any of that. It's still the only sport where the defense controls the ball, and where there's no time limit. The only major sport, anyway. The only other sport I can think of that's like that is tennis. And I used to enjoy tennis. I don't watch it so much anymore. But tennis has no clock. I mean, you can't just, you know, sit there and wait out the clock and win the game like you can in the other sports. All right, I went off on a tangent about that. I really wasn't meaning to talk about sports all the time, but I just got on it. But that's why I like baseball, and also the fact that I grew up with baseball. When you grew up in New York City in the 60s, you grew up with baseball. It wasn't a sport, it was a religion. And we talked about all the time, constantly. In Brooklyn, it was Mets versus Yankees, Mets versus Yankees, this and that, this and that. And we talked about the other sports too, and we always talked about professional sports. Growing up in a city like New York that has a history of professional teams, that's what we talked about. I don't recall us ever talking about college sports in any way, shape, or form. And when you go down south, when I went to Atlanta, it was all college sports is what they really cared about. College football in particular. Georgia Bulldogs, Georgia Tech, Yellow Jackets. You know, and I used to just laugh at them thinking, you know, the suckers. And then I realized, you know, that's pretty much all they've had down in the south for a long time. Professional sports didn't really start hitting the south until the 60s. I mean, the Braves moved to Atlanta in the 60s, 64, I think. I believe the Falcons. I don't know how long the Falcons were in Atlanta when they first started as a team. They weren't in there very long though. So that was all their experience. But still, I don't care much for college football or college basketball in particular, because I really kind of look at it in a way like slavery. Now the players may be happy to play there, and they may enjoy it, and yeah, some of them get a college education about it, you know, for it. But I think the entire system is just plain wrong. I think the players need to get some money. And I know people complain about the high player salaries. Well, you know what? Very few people get to make it to professional sports. But you talk about football. Football has how many teams? I think 18 teams. That's an 18 or 24 teams. I don't know exactly. And each team has 45 players. I believe that's the roster for a football team. So you're only talking a few hundred people. And you think of the thousands and thousands of kids who play college football across the country, in big schools and small schools all over the place. And really, if you play in a small school, you don't have much of an opportunity. But very, very few people get to the level to make the kind of salary in professional football, which is a multi-billion dollar industry. You know, never mind all the merchandising, but think of the gambling that goes on. Gambling is a huge part of sports. That's why I don't care for horse racing. As far as I'm concerned, horse racing isn't really a sport. It's just the reason for people to gamble. I mean, you can have football without gambling. It would take a huge economic hit, but you can have it. Same with baseball and hockey and basketball and all that. But horse racing, who cares about, you know, can anybody tell me what the fastest race speed time is? I sure can't. And actually, even in football, the numbers don't mean so much. Who's the leading rusher career-wise in football? Can anybody tell me the number of yards? But yet everybody knows 755. That's Hank Aaron. Now these are numbers that people know about. Baseball is a game of numbers. Anyway, I'm sorry. I was getting off on a tangent there. I didn't really want to do that, but I did that. That's what I do. I go on and on and on and on about stuff. Boy, I got a lot of good emails about Carolyn Kay from MakeThemAccountable.com. And I want to have her back. I emailed her, and she hasn't responded just yet. Maybe she's busy with other things. But, yeah, maybe I'll make her a semi-regular, because she does live here in Chicago, I found out. So maybe I'll have her on more often, because, you know, I need somebody to talk to so I don't ramble like this. I like to have somebody I can talk to. And I had that when I was working with Joey Davis. And when I had Phyllis Euster, the activist who's living out in Washington State now, when I had her on the show from time to time. And it's just nice to have somebody to talk to. You know what I'm saying? Just sitting down there and shooting the breeze. And I have the world's worst southern accent, I know. It's been an interesting week for me. I haven't worked very much. The day job is really slow right now. If they have stuffing in, then that's fine. If not, then you know I don't stay at home. I did yesterday because it was cold and I had accomplished everything I needed to accomplish. But I've been going out, going to the library, doing a little shopping, not much because I don't have a whole lot of money right now because I haven't been working. But it's been a kind of interesting week. And I was happy to fill in for Dr. Bill on Wednesday. And by the way, I could have filled in yesterday. I don't know what happened there. I got a letter from Ray, an email from Ray about, said, why aren't you on live? And I said, well, I don't know. Isn't Dr. Bill on today? So I'm not sure what's up with that. I talked to Agnes about that, and I guess she wasn't around in the morning to know what's going on. So, but I'm always happy to fill in for Dr. Bill or whoever is going to be in that slot if someone's going to change over to that. So I don't know what's going on. I don't know anything. I'm just kind of sitting here and they just, you know, I'm lost in my own little world here, so I really don't know. I am Bubble Boy. Hey, listen, if you want to get in on this and stop me from rambling, if you want to do something, give me a call, 1-877-443-2366, 1-877-4-HEAD-ON, and we're going to take a little break and pay the bills. And we'll be back with more on the Head On Radio Network and the Cup of Joe Radio Show.
The United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights are problem solvers. They accept any challenge and approach every project with the highest of competency and training. UBC has thousands of professionals who can be at your service, giving you the best in business anytime and every time. It's their job to provide manpower. They build partnerships based on respect and trust. They provide skilled, responsible millwrights and carpenters to meet the challenge of any project because they believe and what they're doing and are so very committed to getting each and every job done right. They include a clause in your contract that eliminates work slowdown and jurisdictional disputes because they believe that, as professionals, they can discuss and solve any problem while keeping your project on target on time. We'd like to take this opportunity to thank the men and women of the United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights for building the American dream and saving the American dream. Thank you.
John McCain has done more than just embrace George Bush's failed policy in Iraq. It's actually his idea to escalate the war there. It's John McCain's idea to send tens of thousands more soldiers to Iraq and to keep them there with no timeline for bringing them home. The McCain plan to escalate, going from bad to worse. With 3.2 million members, MoveOn.org political action is responsible for the content of this advertisement.
Hi, this is Sarah Jessica Parker. It's hard to believe that 1.5 million people in New York City are at risk of going hungry. More than half of them are children and the elderly. The Food Bank for New York City provides the food that soup kitchens, food pantries, and shelters use to feed those in need. Now more than ever, we need your help in the fight against hunger. For more information, visit the Food Bank at www.foodbanknyc.org.
At this moment, more than 800 million people are hungry. Millions more live in poverty. And you wonder, what can I do? Join the thousands of caring people who let Heifer International be their helping hands in the world. Right now, from Appalachia to Zimbabwe, Heifer is helping thousands of families become more self-reliant through the gifts of livestock and learning. Heifer provides farm animals that produce milk, eggs, and other products. That means milk to drink and products like cheese to sell. Having income means families can have better housing and health care, and their children can go to school. And recipients share their success, passing on the gift of their animal offspring to other families in need, ensuring dignity, self-reliance, and hope for the future. Find out how you can make a difference today at heifer.org. That's HEIFER.org.
This is The Horn, the head-on radio network.
Okay, and we're back here on the Cup of Joe radio show. Once again, I am your humble host, Joe Vecchio, voice of the working man's thinking man, voice of those who have been unvoiced by the anti-worker policies of the Bush administration and its corporate allies. Once again, the number to call in, 1-877-443-2366. That's 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. And I'm glad to be part of this show. I'm glad to be part of the Head-On Radio Network. Really serious people doing really serious job trying to keep everybody informed as to what's really going on out there, as opposed to what you hear from the professional media, which is mostly just, we love Bush. That's a commercial. That's what it all sounds like to me. And you know, here's the thing, and this is, I got this via Atrios from the Attitude blog, and it's talking about the White House Correspondents' Dinner, which is foisting its way upon us once more, once every year. And last year, as some of you may remember, it was the special guest speaker was Stephen Colbert, who proceeded to rip Mr. Bush and the White House Press Corps, spelled with a K, I like that, as it is on the website here, and the White House Press Corps, a new one, a new orifice for them. And if you remember it, I loved the way he talked about the media saying, you know, it's easy to go out And you know, Bush makes your job easier. He just, you know, writes it, and you just report it. You know, he writes and you copy. That's it. And then you can go out and do something else. Write that novel you've been looking to write. You know, the one about the intrepid journalist who takes down those in positions of power. You know, fiction. It was the best line of the whole damn show. And he was greeted, of course, with a hushed silence. And so, because of that, because he made them too uncomfortable, we have a similar situation to what happened during the Super Bowl halftime with, whoa, the Janet Jackson nipple. Oh, my God. Seeing guys beat the crap out of each other, that's good family entertainment. But seeing a nipple, oh, my God, can't have that, boys. Oh, they see a nipple. Oh, my, look at that. We gotta pull out the stops on that, boys. They might start thinking that women have titties. I can say titties, can I? Even if I can't, that's it. Now, Bob kind of goes back and forth on the issue. He says, oh, curse away if you like. I'm trying to avoid it. At any rate, so who do they get for this year? Because, you know, after Janet Jackson, who did they get? They got Paul McCartney. And he ruined it all by whipping his schlong out at everybody. No, he didn't do that. Stop lying, Joe. But they got more Paul McCartney, a nice safe bet. And the year before that, they got, who was it, the Rolling Stones? What are these guys, like 400 years old now? You know, Keith Richards, he's just a skeleton. I mean, that, you know, he's a zombie, man. So who do they get for the White House Correspondents' Center? Another guy who's somewhat aged, because he looked old when I remember him from back when I was a kid. And that's Rich Little. Rich Little? When I first heard that, I thought, is he still alive? I mean, nothing against him personally, but why is he still working? Why isn't he retired somewhere? He's what, 4,000 years old? He's got jowls down to his ankles, for crying out loud. And he's been told, now get this, the White House press people have told him, you know, don't bash Bush. Don't bash Bush. And according to an article in the Review Journal, Rich Little said this. He said, Little said, organizers of the event made it clear that they don't want a repeat of last year's controversial appearance by Stephen Colbert, whose searing satire of Bush in the White House press corps fell flat and apparently touched too many nerves. It fell flat among the reporters, ladies and gentlemen. It fell flat amongst them because, you know, the truth hurts. It was great hearing for those of us out here who know what's been going on in the mainstream media. I hate using that term, the so-called professional media. And Little said, they got a lot of letters. I won't even mention the word Iraq. Well, that's nice. Rich Little hasn't been to the White House since he was a favorite of the Reagan administration. Folks, that was 20 years ago. And he said he'll stick with his usual shtick, the impersonations of the past six presidents. Oh, yeah, that ought to be a load of fun. And everybody remembers how much fun the White House press corps had with George W. Bush looking for the WMDs in the Oval Office. Wasn't that riotous, ladies and gentlemen? While U.S. soldiers were dying in Iraq, there's old Bush. Oh, where's the WMDs? Oh, is they behind here? And there's the White House press corps. Oh, isn't Bush funny? He's funny, boy, isn't he? Excuse me. Because they love Mr. Bush. They love him to death. I wrote a letter once to the editor saying, you know, I was just curious, what does Bush's sperm taste like? And how do they distribute it around all the different reporters? They have, like, maybe freeze-dried packets or something? And that they distribute around and that people suck on it with a straw or something like that, or just add water. You know, they got a powdered version where you just add water. Is that what it, you know, is that how they distribute his? Because quite frankly, you know, as one guy said, we're all blaring the blue dress now. And they've got his mouths all over him. And like I tell right-wingers, you know, who sit there and praise Bush all the time, I say, how can you talk so much with George Bush's thing in your mouth? That's what I want to know. And it just sickens me because these are the guys who are supposed to be telling us about the corruption that's going on in politics. I mean, it works in balance. You know, you have politics does one thing, you have the economy does another thing, and you have the press there for another thing. And the press is supposed to be the watchdogs or the watchmen on the walls of world freedom, as Kennedy put it. He wasn't talking about the press, but still. And this is what these guys are doing. You know, you can have a White House press dinner, but, you know, you can't criticize the president. No. You can't criticize the president. I mean, you can't mention that nasty little war that's going on. Because, you know, it so upsets people here at our tea parties to even discuss it. And look, there's Chris Matthews. He made $14,000,000 last year. And we don't want to upset him. God knows we didn't want to upset him by talking about Iraq. Has he even been there? Some of us go there from time to time. There's a very nice hotel in the green room, in the green zone, that we go to, where we could sip on our tea and have some scones. God knows we don't go around there because it's such a bloody mess. But we can't say that. Your White House press corps, ladies and gentlemen. And here's old smarmy Joe Lieberman. He of the lips who would make Mick Jagger wince. Who I wish we could kick out of the party. I'd almost be willing to turn over the Senate to the Republicans just to get rid of this guy. Every time I see him. I just want to smack that face. Just smack him. He got voted in by Republicans. He's going to be supporting whatever Republican candidate is up in 08. Maybe he even might run on the ticket. We'll have the McCain-Lieberman ticket. Moderate voices for moderate era. Oh, and you know, we're going to escalate the war, and I was against it before I was for it. I was for it before I was going to... I'm St. John McCain. I'm a straight shooter. Never mind how many lies he's been telling. And here's Joe Lieberman. Well, you know, I think if you don't support the president on the war on terror, I think it's a disgrace that the Democrats are being so partisan. Never mind that while I was a vice presidential candidate, the Republican guys were throwing turds at me. But I just opened my mouth and I swallowed them because that's the type of person that I am. I'm such a wonderful bipartisan person. Aren't the Republicans wonderful? And how dare the Democrats speak out against the president? Holy Joe and St. Joe. And St. John, excuse me. There's your Republican ticket for 2008. Doesn't matter who's on top. Doesn't matter. We'll put them both sideways. We got the bottom of the hour coming up. If you want to call in, give me talk to me. 1-877-443-2366. Or as Joe Lieberman say, 1-877-443-2366. We'll be back with more on the Cup of Joe Radio Show here on the Head On Radio Network. We'll be right back.
There's one place on the web you can go that's so topical, you can apply it liberally. WD40.com. WDYAD40.com. Clyde, Wally, and Dookie are there. They're working hard every day to give you updates in news, politics, and a great sense of humor. So stop on by and see the boys at WD40.com, a place where you can raise your voice and be heard. WD40.com. Your one-stop shop for all things progressive. What's a conversation like on Head On with Bob Kincaid? This is what it's like.
Let's go. Let's talk to our good friend Phil down in Daytona Beach, Florida. Hey, Phil, welcome to the program. Good to hear from you.
Thanks, Bob. Good to hear you, too. I want to remind people that the military take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. And when people say they're fighting for our freedom by defending the Constitution, which defines our freedoms and supposedly is there to protect them, that's what it really means. Not doing whatever this outrageous civilian leadership dictates that it does.
Head On with Bob Kincaid. Conversation at its finest. Weeknights, Monday through Friday, 6 to 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Only at Head On Radio Network and chat at headonradionetwork.com.
California's adult education system is proudly celebrating 150 years of success. I'm Jack O'Connell, State Superintendent of Public Instruction. As a teacher of adult learners, I ask you to join me in celebrating this important milestone. Each year, adult education helps nearly 1.5 million Californians become better literate citizens, high school graduates, fluent in English, or ready for college. To learn more about adult education in your community, contact your local school district.
Have you ever lost too much money gambling? Did you ever think, just one more hand and I'll win it all back? Just one more roll of the dice, or one more coin in the slot? This could be a sign of problem gambling. And like any addiction, it's hard to stop on your own. So if this sounds like you or someone you know, call the toll-free Problem Gambling Helpline at 1-866-NO-BET-00. That's 1-866-662-3800. Problem gambling can happen to anyone. If it has happened to you or someone you care about, please call. Confidential, professional help is available 24 hours a day. The Problem Gambling Helpline is funded by the Kansas Coalition on Problem Gambling and Addiction and Prevention Services. A message from the Problem Gambling Helpline and this radio station.
This is the Head On Radio Network.
Okay, and we're back here on the Cup of Joe radio show. And once again, number to call in, 1-877-443-2366. Let me say hi. Let me say hi to Agnes, who's out there producing and doing a wonderful job today, and as she always does. And let me say hi to all our friends in the Head On Radio chat room, who I've been forgetting to mention. They just go to the headonradionetwork.com and click on the live chat link. And you could talk with some of the smartest people there on the internet. Agnes says hi, everybody. And yeah, we're all happy to be part of it. And the chat room gets pretty busy sometimes with guys like Ray and ELO. Why a guy names himself after a rock group, I don't know. I've seen some interesting nicknames on IRC chat from time to time. And this is not IRC chat, but it's the same deal. And I've always been kind of straightforward about choosing my nicknames. I go with Cup of Joe, obviously. If you see Cup of Joe somewhere, that's me. And I used to go by Jove, J-O-E-V-E, which is just short for my name, Joe Vecchio. But a lot of people were calling me Joe Eve and thinking I was a girl. So I'm like, no, we can't have that. Which is kind of strange because people do that to me anyway in real life until I grew the mustache. And even so, people still sometimes call me ma'am. And I'm like, look at me. I got this, you know, thick mustache here. And I got a very thick mustache.
Oh, sorry.
When I was listening to the news as I was getting ready to come on, and on the Quality News Network, which is a good thing, and I assume that's a website, right? QualityNewsNetwork.com. Somebody fill me in on that there real quick. But on the Quality News Network, they always mention the price of oil. And what is it? It's $52 a barrel, I believe they said now. And what was it up about several months ago? It was, what, around $70, $80 a gallon or something like that. It was very high. I don't know exactly how much it was, but they were talking about how high it's gotten. And, of course, when the gas prices, when the price of crude went up, and the price of that went up, the price of gas at the pump went up, of course. It went up about 30, 40 cents. And now it's gone down to $52 a gallon. I'm curious, and I don't drive. I take public transportation here in Chicago. But I haven't noticed. Have the gas prices gone down? I asked Agnes, and she said they haven't really gone down in West Virginia there. If you want to give me a call, or if someone's there in the chat room who wants to relay some information to Agnes or Sue about what gas prices are in their town and whether it's gone down any, let me know. Because I'm curious to find out if the gas prices are dropping or if they're just doing more gouging. Granted, they were gouging to begin with. And they've been gouging regardless of what the price is, unless the price is, you know, something like 79 cents a gallon. They're price gouging. It's pure and simple. And with all the other issues going on, it's easy for them because no one's really paying attention. But you know, that is a tax on the working poor. Excuse me a second. That's, you know, all this talk, you know, and the stupid rednecks, and I hate to keep saying that term like that, because there are a lot of good people that live down south, but you know what I'm talking about. But the dumb rednecks keep talking, well, that's the market. No, that's not the market. That's just ripping you off. And you wish you can get them to understand that they're voting for people and they're voting for political parties that are ripping you off. And in a lot of cases, they're not even, you know, subtle about it. You know, Republican Party, you'll vote for us and you'll like it. And they go, oh, yeah, I guess we will. Because, you know, you can't have them Democrats. You can't have them guys trying to raise our taxes. Oh, no, that would be awful. Of course, the Democrats aren't trying to raise your taxes. They're trying to raise taxes on the corporations that are screwing your life over. And on the very, very wealthy people so that they don't just pass their wealth down onto their kids who never earn it. The Republicans are the party of Paris Hilton, man. You know, she was born into a hugely wealthy family, and now she's got even more money for making appearances in places and not wearing her panties half the time. Or is that Britney Spears? What difference does it make? Former Mouseketeer shows her cat, so to speak. And this is the world we live in right now. And that movie that came out recently, In Pursuit of Happiness with Y, about the guy who, the true life story of the guy who rose up from being homeless to be a multimillionaire, and all they talked about in the article about him here in Chicago was that, oh, he's got a desk made of an airplane wing. And he's got a Ferrari that used to be owned by Michael Jordan, and he's got a fur sink and a gasoline-powered turtleneck sweater and an electric dog polisher. Yeah, that's what's important, boy. Meanwhile, there's people working here at McDonald's who are going to continue to work at McDonald's because maybe they don't have any other skills or maybe they don't have any other ambitions, but because they're working at a place like McDonald's, they don't have enough to pay their rent unless they're living with their mom and dad, and of course that creates more pressure for stuff. People can't get independent. I mean, I'm trying to make it on my own here, and it's really not working. I mean, even if I was working a full 40 hours a week, I'd be struggling just to get the bills paid. And meanwhile, as Agnes pointed out, you're in a multimillionaire family and your kid shops with a platinum card, you know, we'll give you a tax break. Woohoo! More money for them. Woohoo! I only have $5 million before, now I have $7 million. Woohoo! And God knows I need that extra $2 million because, well, I don't know what for, but I got it. And the government gives huge subsidies to corporations for the purpose of creating jobs, but the corporations don't use that money to create jobs. They lay people off, and they use that money to form political action committees and to lobby the government for more tax breaks and more incentives. That's what they do, people. That's what they do. And who pays for it? Because they're paying less taxes, who pays more taxes? We do. During the Constitutional Convention in 1787, they didn't call it that. They called it the Federal Convention because they didn't want to use the word Constitution. You see, when they formed it there, when they were putting everything together, there were a lot of people who were afraid of a national government. And their purpose was, at least officially, was to amend the Articles of Confederation. But, of course, what happened there was something completely different, obviously. And during the debates, James Wilson of Pennsylvania, one of the biggest advocates of a national popular vote, stood up and asked, "Can we forget for whom we're forming a country?" And he was asking, of course, the reference was states' rights versus individual rights, where the states were trying to protect their sovereignty, and then according to some stuff I've read, the delegates were getting sick of hearing that term sovereignty about the states. But Wilson's question is the most legitimate question, I think, that you can ask about the government. For whose purpose is the government? For what purpose does it serve? Is it for us? I mean, we supposedly live by the ideals of self-rule and rule of law. But who does it really help? It's helping big corporations, mostly. And it's certainly helping people who make a lot and a lot of money. But if you're poor, well, you know, raise the minimum wage, we can't have that. What do they have here in Chicago? They're talking about cuts across the board for social services, and they're having to close, you know, a bunch of free clinics. Can't afford to get healthy? Just die. There'll be others coming up that'll do your work. Do it for less money too. Chicago's better than most places, but that's the attitude you get from a lot of areas. And especially down south, where the attitude is, you know, well, you're lucky you're alive, buddy. Don't complain. The rich are the rich, and that's the way they're always going to be, and that's the way it should be, and just keep your mouth shut and keep plowing the field. And unfortunately, there's a lot of people out there, the ones who are getting stuck plowing the fields or whatever menial job they've got. But they're happy about it. Thank you, sir. May I have another? Let's get some phone calls in. 1-877-443-2366. 1-877-4-HIT-ON. We'll be back with more on the Cup of Joe Radio Show.
Sweetie, I love you, but those jeans have got
to
go.
Yeah, I know. Grab me a pair next time you go to the store, would you?
No.
Uh-huh.
I'm not going there anymore. I can't stand it.
What do you mean?
It's just awful, honey. The only smile in that building is that big yellow face. Everybody else looks miserable, and I can't find anything there that's made in our country. That bothers me.
Well, nobody makes clothes in America anymore.
Au contraire, mi amigo. There's a ton of American-made clothing at No Sweat.
Well, where's this No Sweat store? Out at the mall?
No, silly. I found them at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. There's a link there. I already ordered some great workout gear, and I also got you some new jeans. They'll be here in a couple of days. Surprise.
HeadOnRadioNetwork.com?
Uh-huh. Just click on the No Sweat banner. You're right there. Helps union workers and helps support America's other liberal network. Cool, huh?
I knew listening to the horn was a good idea.
Whose idea?
Your idea, dear. All the good ones are.
Union made? No sweat. Great prices? No sweat. Great looks? No sweat. No sweat at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. Click the banner. Do the right thing.
As I understand the conflict right now between the president's bill and the one supported by the Democrats, John McCain and Lindsey Graham, is that John McCain and Lindsey Graham and the Democrats say that the bill, the standards we use, should be the standards that are the same as the treaty we signed, the Geneva Convention signed after World War II that every civilized nation follows. And the president is saying, that restricts me too much. That's too humane. I want to be able to do other things. I won't say what they are, but sources tell us that things like waterboarding, you know, drowning people, putting them in 50-degree weather. And the question, I think, is should we hold the United States to the same standards that England holds itself to, that Canada holds itself to, that other civilized nations hold themselves to?
Get the view from inside the Beltway with Mark Levine on the Radio Inside Scoop. Right here, 2 to 3 p.m. weekdays on the Head On Radio Network.
This is the story about a group of kids who volunteered.
We fix stuff. Do some art projects with the kids.
Clean up the park.
We work in the woods.
I just wanted to do something.
We fixed up this house.
Did something for the planet.
Hey, that was all I needed. And you know what? It was great.
It was a blast.
At first, they didn't know each other.
I didn't know anyone.
Well, that didn't last long.
This guy is really funny.
Me?
These are my new friends. These are really good new friends.
Are you into it?
Are You Into It is a volunteer program for kids like you who care. If you want to make a difference in your community and make friends, call 4-H toll-free at 1-888-77-YOUTH or check out our website at www.areyouintoit.com.
This definitely made a difference.
I feel like I can do everything now.
Yeah! A public service message brought to you by 4-H, the Cooperative Extension System, and the Ad Council.
This is the Head On Radio Network.
Okay, and we're back here on the Cup of Joe Radio Show. Once again, I'm your not-so-humble host, Joe Vecchio, voice of the working man's thinking man, voice of the radical middle, voice of those who have been unvoiced by the anti-worker policies of the Bush administration and its corporate allies. I could have said that like Joe Lieberman, but then we would have had to break for the lunch. Break for the hour. Voice of the working... All right, enough of that. Oh, God. You know, there's so many things wrong in this country. There's so much, so many problems that we have that we can't even begin to get fixed. And what upsets me most is that we still have people out there thinking, well, you know, the Democrats won the Congress, so everything's finished. No, it's not finished. It's only started. I wish I can get people to understand that. Oh, you're just being negative, Joe. You're a negative, negative person. You know what? Nothing's changed. Yeah, we have a new Congress. Yeah, they're passing lots of legislation, and I'm happy for them. I'm proud for them. But you know what? The right-wing hate machine is still there. We still have serious problems with elections in this country. And all the other issues, you know, religious control of the government, poverty, health care, as Agnes and I were talking about during the break, they're all there. And all those issues are not only there, but they are side issues. Everybody's got their little pet issues, and I've noticed this about the left, that they have their little pet issues. And God forbid if you don't go along with them entirely on their pet issues, then they don't want to know you, they don't want to talk about, they don't want to talk to you, you know. Well, if you don't support gay rights, then, if you don't support, this and that and this and that, you know, wholeheartedly, then, you know, blah, 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 blah. Me, I'd like to look at things from a more fundamental point of view. If we fix the election system in this country, because you know, you look at the polls and you look at the professional media and you look at the government, there's two different worlds. The public is overwhelmingly against this president. They're against this war in Iraq. They're against a lot of the policies that the Republican Party has. But the redneck vote is a loud vote. And, of course, we don't even have a real vote anymore with the Diebold machines all over the place. They're getting them in California now. I keep telling people, you know, in 2000 we had Florida, in 2004 we had Ohio, in 2008 it's going to be California. They're going to get 51% of the Republican vote. Just enough to win the Electoral College. Just enough. And if they get that, then the Democrats have absolutely no chance. The only real way the Democrats have a chance of winning the presidency, and, you know, I'm not even sure who the candidate's going to be just yet from the field that we have right now. The only possible way they can really do it is to get the West Coast, the East Coast, and the Midwest states. Because, you know, the Republican states are not going to vote for Democrats. That's pretty solidly Republican. I'm not saying we can't work on it. But for the next few years or so, they're going to be red. And we just have to build up slowly. But for me, getting the election system fixed is my pet issue. And the reason it's my pet issue is because it goes down to the foundation of giving the government back to the people, where it belongs. If we had free and fair elections in this country, the Democrats wouldn't have won as many seats as they had. No, they would have won three times as many seats. If we had free and fair elections in this country, George W. Bush would never have gotten into office in the first place, because he was never elected in the first place. And then with the fear tactics that they used after 9/11, it was fairly easy for him to get, you know, to get back in. I never say elected when it comes to him, because as far as I'm concerned, he was never elected. And even so, they had to do some massive cheating in Ohio. And then as expected, he used that 51% victory to declare, like, you know, well, elections have consequences, except, of course, the 2006 elections, they don't have consequences for him, right? He's just doing what he wants to do. He's doing exactly what he wants to do, and he's daring everybody to stop him. In an article today in the New York Times, Paul Krugman, who's one of the few professionals in the media that I enjoy reading, there's not many of them, and he said it straight out, you know, the president acting the way he is, we're facing a constitutional crisis for the next 2 years. He'll pass a law, and then he'll say, well, if I feel I need to break it, I'll break it. Now, maybe that doesn't have any legal standing, but if he goes ahead and does it, what are we going to do about it? But the Republicans, what they like to do is, like, change the rules. Well, you know, he's been illegally wiretapping people, so let's change the law so that makes what he was doing legal. And, you know, there are people on the right that still believe that they should have won this last election. They still don't understand how they lost it, because the fix was in. And the reason why they lost it was because they lost a lot of the moderate people, and even some of their own people. Because, you know, you can only have so much lies and stuff before it starts filtering down and people start thinking, you know, this is horse stuff. This is horse crap. But Rove's attitude towards the cheating has always been, don't make it look like a landslide, because it could look too obvious. Win by 51%. He understands 51% of the vote is 100% of the power. I've said this before and I'll say it again. Excuse me. He understands that, and he puts that to use. But they didn't flip enough votes. Votes of Democrats wiped it out. Votes of moderates wiped it out. Votes of people who were just, you know, they don't necessarily have to be Democrats, but they were just sick and tired of all the BS that's been going on for the last 6 years. And it was a miscalculation. Will they make that again? We'll find out in 2008, won't we? Now, I predicted that the Democrats would still lose this election in 2006, and I predicted that, and I had some pretty solid reasons for predicting that. I wasn't just pulling something out of my butt. I was saying that for a reason. And, of course, since I was wrong on that, now everyone's saying, well, are you going to forget about the election issue? I still get people emailing me about that. Are you going to forget about the election issue? No, I'm not going to forget about it. Because, as I mentioned, the victory should have been much larger. Excuse me. Pardon me. Professional radio, ladies and gentlemen. And I am in favor of a very simple, very low-tech, very accurate, very corruption-free, not totally corruption-free, but for the most part, system of how we should elect people. You establish laws, you do it state by state, or you can make a federal law that says this is how you're going to conduct elections, even if you have to amend the Constitution, damn it, that's what you got to do. You establish a paper ballot is the official ballot of record. It's not something you have a paper trail for. It's what gets counted. First. And only. No, you count it by the machine first, and then you, if there's an anomaly, you count it by paper later. No, no, no. Paper ballots. The paper ballot is the official ballot of record. They are counted by hand, in full public view, at the precinct where they were cast. Put it on paper, count it by hand, keep it in the public eye. That's how I see it. And yes, the secret ballot. All this talk about receipts. I hate it when people use the word receipt. Because a receipt implies something that the person takes with them out of the ballot. And you have to have a secret ballot. Because you got some places in this country where the boss will want to see how you voted. Because it can threaten your job if you vote the wrong way. You got places in this country where your church is going to tell you how to vote, and you could get thrown out if you vote a certain way. The real key to me, above and beyond just putting it all on paper, is counting it in the precincts. I think a lot of the problems, well, I don't think, I know, a lot of the problems we've had with corruption and vote stealing in the past have gone on because of what goes on between the time when it gets taken from the precinct and over to the place where it gets counted. You get your ballot box and you stick it in the middle of the room, surrounded by the voting machines. And it's right out there in the open. Hell, we've got the technology now. You can put a camera on it. You can do a webcam and keep an eye on it the whole time. And then you open it up. And the poll workers go there and they hold it up. This is a vote for so-and-so, blank. This is a vote for so-and-so, blank. Candidate X, candidate Y. These are the votes right here. And there's people right there. Everybody's right there seeing it. And because the ballot doesn't have an actual name of a person on it, you can't tell who was voted, right? And, you know, just so that they can say, well, this is the last guy that voted, so that just, you know, shuffle them up. Or just have them go into the box and don't have them go, like, in a set order. Just have them dumped in the box, shuffle them all up, you know? And if you count them by the precinct, we're only talking a few thousand votes per precinct. And people saying, well, you know, why can't you just have an election machine and have it print out a ballot and be counted? Well, that's fine, except all you're doing is you're turning that electronic voting machine into an extremely expensive pencil. Stick a Sharpie in the booth. Have them mark it. If you need to have the ballot that's the size of an 8.5 by 11 sheet of paper, why not? If you've got, you know, I know California, they've got not just the candidates, but they've got all the different issues. I think you maybe have, you know, I talked about maybe having like perforations where you can tear off the part. This is the vote for the president, and this way they can, you know, the first person comes along and that's the president. Well, this is a vote for candidate A, and they stick that in the slot for candidate A. But we've gotten lazy about it, and that's our problem. We've gotten lazy about it. We don't want to be bothered. And because we don't want to be bothered, the system is going to be corrupted by people who want the power for their own causes. Oh, top of the hour, news. Took me by surprise there. We'll be back with second hour of the Cup of Joe radio show here on the Head On Radio Network.
This is the Quality News Network. 60% of Americans disapprove of the president's plan to send additional troops to Baghdad and the Anbar province. 65% disapprove of the way President Bush is handling the Iraq war in general. And that's according to the latest LA Times Bloomberg poll. In Baghdad today, Iraqi forces backed by U.S. troops captured one of radical cleric Mutada al-Sadr's most important aides, his media spokesman. The arrest signals the seriousness of the upcoming security crackdown in Iraq's capital city. In the trials of Guantanamo Bay prisoners, hearsay and coerced testimony will be accepted. Practice is not allowed in U.S. courtrooms. That's according to the new manual governing detainee trials. Defense Secretary Gates will introduce the manual to Congress next week. Jordan's king has told an Israeli newspaper he intends to develop a nuclear program in his country. He says he's already discussed the issue with Western powers. King Abdullah says Jordan's nuclear program will be used for energy. The U.S. is joining other countries reprimanding China for its successful test of an anti-satellite missile. The test represents a significant leap in China's military defensive and offensive capabilities and is a threat to America's own military defense. China says its anti-satellite missile program is no threat to other countries. Six-party talks on the North Korean nuclear weaponry program are scheduled to resume in mid-February. Meetings held in Berlin this week between U.S. and North Korean negotiators were said to be successful. In Somalia, Ethiopian forces will begin to withdraw within the next few days now that several of Somalia's top warlords have been disarmed. The African Union is considering sending some 8,000 troops to keep the peace. In California, a bill prohibiting parents from spanking their children is being debated by the state legislature. If adopted, California will be the first state in the nation to do so. Parents could be fined $1,000 and sentenced to a year in jail. In Washington, former Ohio Representative Bob Ney was sentenced today to 30 months in prison for his role in the Jack Abramoff's lobbying scandal. Ney pleaded guilty to corruption charges and resigned last fall. Also in Washington, the federal judge in the Lewis Scooter Libby perjury trial is having a hard time finding a jury, primarily because prospective jurors are expressing strident anti-Bush and anti-Iraq war opinions. You're listening to the Quality News Network, Science and Business, next.
Most people would rather have a root canal than go to a dealer to buy a car. But you can turn dread into joy when you learn how to play the car buying game. Read the book, Right Car, Right Price, and you'll discover how the game is played and how you can win every time. Whether you're buying a car or a truck, new or used, Right Car, Right Price explains how to find and buy the vehicle best suited to your individual transportation needs. Auto Week called Right Car, Right Price the right stuff. So take the hassle out of car buying. Read Right Car, Right Price, and every time you get into your new car, you'll know you've got a great deal. Go online to rightcarrightprice.com to order your copy today. It only takes an hour to read Right Car, Right Price, and it just costs $10. We even pay the postage. So go to rightcarrightprice.com right now. It'll be one of the best decisions you ever make.
Bangor, Maine has made it illegal to smoke in a car when anyone under the age of 18 is present. Under the ordinance, which takes effect tomorrow, a smoker can be fined $50. As much as $175 billion is still owed to Holocaust survivors as restitution for Nazi and government looting during World War II. That's according to a recent study. The commitment to collect the monies has decreased as publicity has cooled and survivors die of old age. In New York, four families have filed suit against MySpace and its parent, News Corp. The parents say their young daughters were sexually abused by adults they met on the social chat website. The California Attorney General has offered a plea deal to the five defendants in the Hewlett-Packard spy case. If the defendants plead guilty, the state will consolidate and reduce their multiple felonies to a single misdemeanor. The defendants have not yet responded. Toyota is recalling 544,000 pickups and SUVs as a result of a steering defect. The recall includes Sequoias and Tundras from 2004 through 2007. Light sweet crude is trading at $51.10 a barrel on the New York Mercantile Exchange. On Wall Street at this hour, the Dow Jones is up 5 points, the NASDAQ up 7 points, the S&P 500 up 4. Gold is trading at $632.30 an ounce. You can find more at our website, qualitynewsnetwork.com. I'm Annabelle Lund.
Welcome back to the Cup of Joe radio show, the show that asks the all-important question.
Hey, you gonna eat that?
And now, back again for another hour of truth and fury, here's the man your bosses hate, the voice of the working man's thinking man, Joe Vecchio.
Okay, we're back here on the show. 30 months? Is that all Bob Ney got is 30 months? What is that, 2.5 years? You get more time if you rip off a liquor store and steal $20, I believe. Well, maybe not. Still seems awfully lenient. And, of course, you know, that's not going to be a hardcore prison. That's going to be a nice, safe Republican prison where he gets to sip on his lattes. It's so difficult here in this prison, you know. We haven't had scones for over a week. Oh, that's dreadful. What did you do? Oh, I stole millions of people and disenfranchised millions of others. Oh, that's not a crime. That's not a crime at all. You shouldn't even be here. What were you in here for? What are you in here for? Oh, I helped overthrow a country in the Middle East. And, There were several million deaths, but you know something? A million deaths is just a statistic. Right, I agree. What was the penalty for murder in your country before you took it over? Oh! It was life imprisonment, and sometimes we executed them. But you killed millions, eh? Yes, I killed millions. And here I am, sipping lattes. And it's almost like that. You know, and we got guys like Henry Kissinger, who is a war criminal. And he's still getting to enjoy his life. He'll probably die of old age in peace and comfort. Unlike many of the victims of his policies. I was reading the sideshow about this. And Henry Kissinger apparently had a article in the... What was it? The... The United Arab Emirates College Times Online, talking about why American soldiers were still in Iraq. And this is what Henry says: under present conditions, I'll try to do it. Under present conditions, withdrawal is not an option. American forces are indispensable. They were in Iraq not as a favor to its government or as a reward for its conduct. They are there as an expression of the American national interest to prevent the Iranian combination of imperialism and fundamentalist ideology from dominating a region on which the energy supplies of the industrial democracies depend. That's it in a nutshell, ladies and gentlemen. That is the thinking. What was it? The sign some of the protesters. How did our oil get on their land? And that's Republican policy. That's conservative policy. Kill them and take their money. You've got something we want. Kill them and take it. It's done domestically. And it's done internationally. And it's not going to change anytime soon. I think it will change. I think I think either one thing or another will happen. We're either going to grow up and we're going to build a society that's a lot more decent, maybe not perfect, but a lot more decent. Or we're going to kill each other off. There was the news the other day was about they moved the doomsday clock 2 minutes closer. That's a pretty big jump, 2 minutes. And I haven't looked at exactly where it is. How many minutes to midnight is it? They had actually kind of disbanded it for a while, hadn't they? after the Soviet Union fell and all that, but now it's all back again. And part of it is the threat to the global environment. And, you know, the rich people just think, well, they can do whatever they want, and they'll have enough money to prevent the worst things from happening to them. And I don't know how true that is. I really don't know how true that is. I mean, if things get bad enough so that human life itself can't survive the planet, then how is their money going to protect them? And the House just voted to take $14 billion of subsidies away from oil companies and put it towards alternative energy. And I saw a thing here on PBS. I think I mentioned it on Wednesday's show or on Monday's show, about a guy who had designed an electric car that uses the same type of batteries used in cell phones, only much larger, of course. And it was remarkably fast. And, in fact, it accelerated a lot quicker than a gasoline-powered car. And it was totally electric. It wasn't a hybrid car. It was totally electric. And sooner or later, somebody's going to develop a battery. Now, the problem with the car is that it can only go about 100 miles, which is actually not bad if you're using it to get back and forth to the groceries. And it's actually a pretty good investment in that sense, although the price for the car, if it will be on the market, because it's still in the experimental stages, could be something along the lines of $200,000. Of course, that's what you'd pay for a big luxury car nowadays, like a Maserati or a Ferrari or something like that, or a custom car of some sort. No, but It was really neat looking at this, and in fact, they had a guy. It was a NASCAR guy, and I can't stand NASCAR, but still, it was a NASCAR guy, and he drove it. And he said, "Man, this thing really accelerates. I don't think I've ever had as quick an acceleration on a regular car, and it goes as fast as a regular car." And he rides it on racetracks where he can go 150 or so miles an hour, but it goes about 100 miles, but it takes overnight to recharge, basically. And I'm thinking if they can maybe have a system where you put so many batteries in it, and the batteries look like very long beer cans. Take a beer can and maybe take four or five of them. Put them on end. And that's what it looked like. And if you take four or five of those and put them in there, maybe, or however many you need, and maybe you have them to be rechargeable so that you use one bank first, and when that one bank goes low, you charge a second bank. Then when that bank goes low, you charge a third bank. You know, you switch to a third set. And meanwhile, it's charging the other batteries while one battery is being used. Now, it's not perpetual motion because eventually the batteries are going to wear down, blah, blah, blah. But maybe you get it to a point where you can drive it for, 500-600 miles before you need to recharge it. Or maybe you can get it to a point where the batteries are so cheap where, You just get a new battery pack every now and then. It's a lot cheaper than buying gas. Because, plugging it in, using electricity, your electricity bill is going to go up anyway. So, and because they have to use gas a lot of times to run those turbines. So, there's trade-offs and stuff like that. But if they can ever develop a really feasible electric car, I'm all for it. And I'd be happy to see it. But we'll see. We'll see what happens. The oil companies, will they allow it? Probably not. Although, I don't understand. I'd be perfectly happy to allow them to switch the industry. I don't care if they make money. I don't care if they make a lot of money. I'm perfectly happy with people making money. As a liberal, though, I expect them to be responsible with it, and I expect them to have a little bit of an understanding that they live in a world above and beyond what their profit margin is, that they're part of a world, no one's called me today yet, and I'm a little upset about that, because at least I get some calls from my regulars and stuff like that. If you've never called me before, call up the show. I'm sure you've got an issue you want to talk about. I know you're not out there sitting here thinking, okay, maybe you agree with everything I'm saying, but, if there's something you want to bring out, I want to hear it. So if you've never called the show, I'm putting out an all-points bulletin here. We've got 45 minutes left for the show, and give me a call. We've got a Puffy Yami Yumi break coming up. The number to call is 1-877-443-2366. 1-877-4HON. 4 head on. Here's a Puffy Yami Yumi break. We'll be back in a few.
Sweetie, I love you, but those jeans have got
to
go.
Yeah, I know. Grab me a pair next time you go to the store, would you?
No.
Huh?
I'm not going there anymore. I can't stand it.
What do you mean?
It's just awful, honey. The only smile in that building is that big yellow face. Everybody else looks miserable, and I can't find anything there that's made in our country. That bothers me.
Well, nobody makes clothes in America anymore.
Au contraire, mi amigo. There's a ton of American-made clothing at No Sweat.
Well, where's this No Sweat store? Out at the mall?
No, silly. I found them at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. There's a link there. I already ordered some great workout gear, and I also got you some new jeans. They'll be here in a couple of days. Surprise.
HeadOnRadioNetwork.com?
Uh-huh. Just click on the No Sweat banner. You're right there. Helps union workers and helps support America's other liberal network. Cool, huh?
I knew listening to the horn was a good idea.
Whose idea?
Your idea, dear. All the good ones are.
Union made, no sweat. Great prices, no sweat. Great looks, no sweat. No sweat at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. Click the banner, do the right thing.
Do you believe the environment is issue number one? Does the idea of genetically modified food cause you to lose your appetite? Do you prefer green over greed? Do rising sea levels and vanishing polar ice cause you concern about our planet and what we are doing to it? Would you like news with attitude on the environment, organics, renewable sources of energy? Well, then join me, John Fox, for Foxed Up. Weekdays 5 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Pacific, 10 p.m. in the UK, and 9 a.m. here in Sydney, where conversation radio becomes conservation radio, and we turn it straight up to 11. Right here on the Head On Radio Network.
Durante una medianoche aburrida, mientras meditaba sobre la vida, un libro gigante de animales ante mí apareció. Luego oí un golpe que me estremeció. Le siguió un arañazo, un olfateo, un rugido. Corrí a la puerta y la abrí sorprendido. Grande fue mi sorpresa al ser casi atropellado por criaturas de toda clase y tamaño. Abre la puerta de tu biblioteca pública local e involúcrate con criaturas encontradas. El programa de lecturas de verano para adolescentes.
Hi, this is Sarah Jessica Parker. It's hard to believe that 1.5 million people in New York City are at risk of going hungry. More than half of them are children and the elderly. The Food Bank for New York City provides the food that soup kitchens, food pantries, and shelters use to feed those in need. Now more than ever, we need your help in the fight against hunger. For more information, visit the Food Bank at www.foodbanknyc.org.
This is the Head On Radio Network.
Okay, it's 18 after the hour. Let's just go right to the phones. We've got Dave on line one. Hey, Dave, how are you? How about Tara? Pull up a chair and have a cup of Joe. I'll say it right.
Thank you, Joe. I'm not exactly a first-time caller. I called you when you first came on, and you were kind enough to send me a really beautiful, elegant T-shirt, and I do appreciate that.
Oh, okay, yeah. Are you enjoying it? The autograph hasn't washed out or anything,
no,
has it?
No, I get a lot of compliments on it.
Good. Glad to hear it.
The main issue that has been concerning me of late is that we have here in California, Monterey County, a congressman named Sam Farr, and he has introduced a resolution in the House that would rescind any and all war powers that Congress may have granted to Bush, or at least that Bush perceives that they have, and that they would all be rescinded and taken back. And it strikes me as the ideal way right now to prevent us from jumping into Iran and expanding this war further, which I do believe is their plan, as crazy as that may seem.
Yeah, but my question is, if they do this and if Bush ignores it, what are they going to do?
Well, he would be operating totally without any. He's saying Congress granted me the right to, you know, do whatever I want. Well, they're saying, no, we are not. We're taking it back. So I am, yeah, good point. He's tended to ignore what the people want, what the Congress wants, up till now.
How is he feeling about impeachment? down there, because there have been people talking about that. In fact, I think New Mexico, I think, passed a thing in their state legislature about impeachment.
Yes, and I think it should be expedited. I mean, the amount of harm that this administration is doing to the people and the threat that we're posing to the world, I, too, truly believe that you could search the prisons of this country and probably the world and not find a worse group of criminals than what we have now running the country. And they got there by election fraud. Yes.
What we have is not a government so much as we have organized crime, and I've said that before, too.
Yeah, they are a total nightmare, and I believe we're in this war strictly for their profits, and that, to me, is just such an outrage. That, you know, if there's ever been a case for impeachment, these guys are a living proof of it every day.
If you can impeach a guy for lying about an affair, you can certainly impeach a guy for lying about going to war, for crying out loud.
Well, they wanted to get rid of Clinton in any way they could because he wouldn't go along with their Middle East plans. So if he wouldn't do it, then they had to get rid of him one way or another. I'm sure that Monica was a plant. But anyway, election fraud is what they're all about now. And they say their attitude towards us is, we don't give a damn what you think. We don't give a damn how you vote. We control all that. This last election, they just miscalculated it, is the way I'm reading it. We should have won 50, maybe 60 more seats. They had rigged millions of votes, but they miscalculated how many they would need to rig. They usually got a 29-30% turnout on an off-year election. This time they got a 45%.
Right.
So that they didn't have any plans of losing either the House or the Senate, as I read it.
Yeah, Karl Rove was sounding extremely confident before the election, and so was Mr. Bush. And Mr. Bush didn't seem happy with Mr. Rove after the fact.
No, it was Rove, apparently, that was the one that miscalculated. He didn't want it to look like a landslide. He wanted it to be like the GOP just barely won. So they misfigured how many votes they needed to flip. Some districts, they had those Diebolds were smoking, running crazy. They needed to get rid of Cynthia McKinney. They didn't want a Tony Trupiano in Congress. Some places they however many it took, they were going to do it.
Well, they got rid of McKinney in the primaries, and that's like the second time that's happened to her, because that's what happened with Denise Majette, where Majette ran in the primary and won. And all of it was Republican crossover votes, because in Georgia you have what they call an open primary, where regardless of your party affiliation, you can choose on that day which primary you want to vote for.
Well, it's voting on their ESNL or Diebold machines. It really doesn't matter how you vote that much.
Well, in the primary, I mean, if you're a registered Democrat, you know, you should be able to only vote in the Democratic primary,
mm-hmm.
right? If you want to be a Democrat, you have to register as a Democrat, and that's the only way you can vote in the Democratic primary. But in Georgia, and there are other states that are like that too, even if you're a registered Republican, you can choose to vote in the Democratic primary. And in a Democratic primary, you wouldn't be allowed to vote for a Republican. You'd only, you know, vote for those candidates. But if it was only Democrats, then Cynthia McKinney would have won the primary easy, because that's very much her district.
Well, if you don't weigh in the electronic machine factor, see, they wanted her out. She was actually laying 911 at the foot of the White House.
Oh yeah, of course, and which it was.
Yeah,
I mean, you
right,
know.
No other congressman has the hair to do that, to say that. You know,
just, right, exactly.
They don't want to risk being called a conspiracy theorist, but even though the evidence is overwhelming, really.
I mean, however you want to do it, whether they just simply allowed it to happen, and I still hear some of the weirder stuff, people saying that there were bombs in the WTC and there wasn't a real plane hitting the Pentagon. You know, I'm just kind of like, well, you know, one way or the other. But you knew it was an inside job one way or the other. I mean, that's pretty obvious to me.
It was indeed. You might try to get a hold of Jim Mars, who's just released another book on the terror conspiracy. He wrote the book Inside Job. He's a very excellent writer.
Mm-hmm. My email is joe@cupjoe.com. If you know the guy's email address or on their website, just email me and let me know, and we'll see if we can get him on as a guest. Because I do want to talk about this issue, because I hear some really interesting stuff out there, and I want to bring it up a little bit more, so...
If you have a pencil, he is Jim@JimMars, MARRS.com.
I don't have a pencil, and
just
go ahead and email it to me, joe@cupjoe.com.
Okay, we'll give it a try.
That should work just fine.
But
I got
I would like to tell anybody that's listening that cares about these issues to please try to get a hold of members of Congress and say, Sam Farr's measure to rescind the powers that have been granted to Bush. Would you co-sponsor that or support it or offer it in the Senate or something? Because I think...
And, you know, there's enough popular backing for that sort of thing. I mean, if you know, like the news just said, 65% of the people disagree with the war and how it's being run. So there's a huge public outcry against that.
Your listeners know, your colleagues know, most all of us know how terrible this administration is. Most of Congress wants to look the other way and whistle a happy tune and not see that reality. They don't want to risk anything that would be politically detrimental and offending.
How can it be politically detrimental if 65% of the people would be for what you're doing? There's no way that it could be politically detrimental. The only way, the only problem they have is that the professional media will portray it as a certain way. But I think a lot of people are tuning the professional media out.
Right. Hannity and Fox are going to just call them dreadful names, you know, and make them sound awful. But
right.
They're going to do that no matter what. They're certainly going to do it if any of them really come right out and make accusations about the election.
Sure. And you know, you look at how they treat people. I mean, I use John Kerry as a perfect example. I mean, whatever you think of him as a candidate, the truth of the matter is they didn't attack him on his record as a candidate. They were saying that he lied about his war record, which is wrong and just a lie. And they have no compunction about doing that. And that's how they attack.
That's the rogue delay method there, doing that. Yeah. Take away whatever strength the person has.
Right.
Falsely accuse them. They're very dishonest.
I'm sorry, we're talking over each other.
They're very dishonest folks in everything they do, and that's, you know, deceiving the people. That's everything for them. They don't like free speech. They try to block it in all ways that they can and give out misinformation. That's the thing.
And yeah, and that's why they get Rich Little to do the White House Correspondents' Dinner, you know, instead of Stephen Colbert, who really just ripped them a new one. God, that was so great to watch last year, and
yeah.
So now they're just playing it safe.
Yeah, you really all right, disappointed me. I mean, I have nothing but contempt for these people.
No, same here, dude. I got my baseball bat handy, you know. Well, I would if I hadn't lost it, but you know what I mean. It's the principle. That's why I'm a bad soldier, dude. A good soldier does not lose his weapon.
Yeah. Well, you got a good program, Joe, and you're a part of a good network, and I hope it grows into something great.
Great. Well, I'm glad you enjoyed the T-shirt there, and I hope it fit properly, and I was happy to have done it. And, you know, we had three people. Sue got the other one, but the third person didn't want to give the address so that they never got theirs. So maybe I'll figure out something else.
Oh, I can't. It should have either gotten to them or gone back to you.
No, they never gave the address.
Oh,
you know, they didn't want to give out their home address, so I could never send them one.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Well, listen, Dave, we're almost due for a break here, so let me let you go. Listen, thanks for calling in, and I'm glad you did. And call more often, dude. You know that. I hope to get more phone calls. I like that because I don't have to talk so much.
Yeah, but you do good, and I'll be happy to do that more often.
Okay, take care, Dave.
Bye-bye.
That was our good buddy Dave out in California. And I'll predict it again. California is going to be our problem state in 2008 because they're working hard and furious to get those election machines in there. We've got more callers coming up. We've got a half an hour left. We'll be back after these messages here on the Cup of Joe Radio Show on the Head-On Radio Network.
The United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights meet your most complex needs by providing productivity, competitiveness, reliability, accuracy, safety, leadership, and professionalism. Millwrights from the United Brotherhood of Carpenters are problem solvers. They accept any challenge and approach every project with the highest of competence and training. The UBC has thousands of professionals who can be at your service, giving you the best in business anytime and every time. The Head On Radio Network is proud to be sponsored by these wonderful men and women who are building the American dream every day. Thank you from the Head On Radio Network.
John McCain has done more than just embrace George Bush's failed policy in Iraq. It's actually his idea to escalate the war there. It's John McCain's idea to send tens of thousands more soldiers to Iraq and to keep them there with no timeline for bringing them home. The McCain plan to escalate, going from bad to worse. With 3.2 million members, MoveOn.org political action is responsible for the content of this advertisement.
Did you know the University of Nebraska is a virtual world leader in the field of distance education? And that they bring highly interactive learning right into the homes of students in all 93 Nebraska counties, all 50 states, and 135 countries around the world using the latest computer website technology? I guess the lesson here is, no matter where you live, there's no place like Nebraska. The University of Nebraska, Lincoln.
Hey, have you got a minute?
Huh?
I'm going to say a word. You tell me what comes to mind. Are you ready?
Okay.
Tchaikovsky.
Gesundheit. Okay, what's the word?
No, see, that is the word. What does Tchaikovsky make you think of?
I don't know. Allergy season?
Hey there, how you doing?
So,
who's Martha Graham?
She invented the graham cracker.
No kidding.
Yeah, before her there was only soda crackers.
Hard to imagine. Hey, young lady.
Yeah?
Does the name Man Ray mean anything to you?
Duh. The man ray is a kind of poisonous jellyfish, and it lives in the Gulf of Mexico.
Aha!
It's very deadly.
Are your kids as well-rounded as they could be? Kids who participate in the arts do better in school and in life. To learn more about the value of arts education, visit AmericansForTheArts.org. Because all kids should get to appreciate Tchaikovsky's music, Martha Graham's dance, and Man Ray's photography. Art. Ask for more. A public service message brought to you by Americans for the Arts and the Ad Council.
You're listening to the Head On Radio Network.
Okay, here we are. We're back, and we've got a half an hour left. Let's get right to the phone. Our good friend from Mississippi, Sarge, is on the line. Hey, Sarge, how are you today?
Oh, doing good. I want to plug my site a little bit, and I'll tell you why. I got a wonderful writer by the name of Leonard Clark, a friend of Head On Radio, but unfortunately he's having some financial difficulties, and he hasn't been able to listen to Head On yet.
Aren't we all having financial difficulties, Sarge? That's a big club.
Well, you know, it's a funny thing. He's a teacher out in Arizona, Glendale, or I believe it's right around Phoenix, and he's two paychecks behind. They have not sent him, well, they had sent it, they say, but for some reason he hasn't gotten his last two paychecks. And they say they sent them out, but so far he hasn't seen them.
Well, you know, after a couple of weeks he should be able to get new checks. He should get direct deposit if he could. I've always done that.
Well, he just got back from Iraq.
Oh, they sent him there. They've been cashed by Halliburton.
Well, he hasn't been back from Iraq all that long. And in fact, the way he got back was he was writing a blog while he was in Iraq, and he was the first one busted for writing a blog.
Now, was he a soldier there, or what was the deal?
Yeah, he was National Guard there, and what he was writing was like when they'd go out, what they call going out. Over the wire, he would write about the experiences of that day, what he encountered. He didn't give anything that was, you know, really military sensitive. But they told him to quit writing it because it was not the most flattering things that he was seeing. of course, and
mm-hmm.
it was Harmon Image, you know. And so they told him to stop, and he said, look, I've got freedom of speech. If I want to write this, I can write this. You can't tell me to stop.
Well, in the military, if he's in the military, that's always iffy on that proposition.
Yeah, and so he, I don't know if he stopped or not, but they busted him for it. And so he's come home, and he's running against John McCain for the U.S. Senate in Arizona. And so we want to promote him on that, you know.
He can get with the Netroots candidate, Daily Kos, and others. They have places where people who want to run can go there and hopefully get financial support and the things that they need, because I'm sure there'd be somebody up there who wants to run. But he would have to run as a Republican, though, right?
He's running as a Democrat. He's
oh, that's right. He's not running against a primary. Okay, I'm thinking primary. Never mind.
Yeah, but he's written an article. He's writing for unreportednews.net, and how it works is he writes it. He goes to the library, emails it to me, and I post it for him. And the last one he sent me is just wonderful, man. You have got to read it. It is a must read.
I will do so as soon as I finish the show here. It's kind of hard to be doing that while I'm working on the show, but I'll do that.
But Malloy read it, and Malloy plugged it 3 times last night, telling everybody, you really, really need to read this. That's just how good it is. And I've read it, and I agree. It is just something that I wish every person in America could read this man's writing, because what he is telling you is firsthand experience, and he's telling you in such a manner that if you can't comprehend it, then you don't want to. It is
right.
Just marvelous stuff, and he's someone you really, really need to pay attention to, because he's telling you straight, and he's not pulling any punches about it. He's telling you exactly what the soldiers feel. He's telling you how they use their military power to change the way the military is supposedly seeing things. For instance, if you go into the mess hall and press is there, before they'll let you go into the mess hall, you have got to agree to be favorable for the situation in Iraq. You cannot go in.
Right. Right. They're very much into handpicking the people who are with the president or any officials there.
Yeah,
that here at home too.
When they came out, well, in fact, when they come home, they have to sign a secrecy statement telling they won't tell what happens over there. That they will keep on, and if they break it, they're telling them, if you break this, your family will suffer for this.
I mean, and that's just typical, you know. It's organized crime, Sarge. That's what I keep saying. It's organized crime. And that's how these guys operate.
Yeah, it is just unbelievable. And you know, I mean, I'm a Vietnam era veteran, and I've seen how they did back then. But Jesus Christ, they never got this bad. I mean, you know, they once you were out, and they left you alone. You know, unless you like me and had a top secret clearance, then there were certain things that you were supposed to keep your mouth shut about. And of course, you do. You know, I mean, you know, there's certain things that are, you know, in that with that kind of position, you're not going to say regardless because of, you know, the sensitivity. But, you know, other than that, they left us alone.
And I actually had a top secret clearance when I was in the Air Force. I never really had any dealings with any top secret information, but the job that I had required it.
Mm-hmm.
And and no one ever said anything to me about what I can or can't say afterwards, and if I thought there was something that was really sensitive, I wouldn't talk about it. But, you know, going into the, you know, that's the sort of thing you should be telling people. Well, you know, when I went into the press into the mess hall, they told me I couldn't say anything bad about the president.
Yeah, and that's what Leonard is doing, and of course that's more probably the reason his checks are getting screwed around, you know.
Good reason.
Yeah, because, and also he's very outspoken. Of course, they've got a good governor in Arizona, a Democrat. She's good. But of course, Leonard doesn't play favorites. If he wants her to speak out on something, he doesn't mind telling her to speak out on it. and kind of ruffle her feathers a little bit. So, I mean, it's just one of those situations where it looks very, very suspicious. I'm not going to say they're messing with his checks, but when two checks get misdirected, you start getting a little suspicious.
And you know, all the politicians, like I was talking to Dave, they all walk on pins and needles over these issues. And I don't know what they're afraid of. I mean, we have their backs. If they go out there and really push, they've got so many people behind them. You know, when 65% of the country disagree with something, that's a pretty damn strong indication that the country is really not liking what's going on. And it just goes to show how undemocratic we are, that even with that amount of people, you know, politicians are still afraid to speak out, or even the press is still afraid to say anything, or they're too much in on it to say anything, you know?
Yeah, the politicians have got to give the people more American, more credit, because we know that no matter who you are, there's some kind of little background info that's not going to be favorable to you. It doesn't matter who you are. It's there, you know?
But you know, when you're threatened economically, that's a real nasty thing. Because I think it was Sue the other day who said it, called it golden handcuffs.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, there you go.
You know, where these guys make so much money where if they say the wrong thing, they could lose all that, and they're used to that lifestyle by now.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's what makes Leonard special, isn't it? I'm going to tell you, I consider Leonard a hero. You know, in my book, hero is definitely an accurate word for him, because he said, you know, the more they do this, the stronger my resolve is. And that's, you know, that's heroic. And to do what he did, to make the stand that he made in Iraq, and then to come home and say, I'm not going to put up with it, I'm going to speak out, even if they want to screw with me more, I'm still going to fight with them, because I'm an American, and I'm not going to let them run my country.
And what we have to do in this country is that we have to work to support people like that and make sure that they don't get screwed over economically by either donating money or the limousine liberals that have the money, building foundations and building think tanks or whatever they need to do to keep people employed, so that they can continue to fight the good fight and not have to worry about where their next meal is coming from.
Yeah, and of course, now, I I'm glad that he's on my site, and I'm going to say this because of him and not necessarily my site, but if you'll go to unreportednews.net and read his writing, read what he has out, and keep a constant watch on it, he'll help you keep informed, but you'll also be helping him, because the more readers he has, the more he can push the issues for you, and he will.
Right.
And the same goes for me with Katrina, and you know, you keep patronizing us, and we'll work our butts off for you. That's what we want. The more that visit us, the stronger you'll make us, and the stronger we get, the louder your voice will be.
That's right. It has historical precedent, too. I keep talking about Jacob Riis's books, How the Other Half Lived, and that was a huge reason. Not the only reason, because there are a lot of other things that were going on, but that was a big reason why a lot of liberal policies got put into place in the first place, was because people were shamed into it. And I think there's still a lot of people in this country who have real sympathy, or would have real sympathy for what's going on down in Mississippi and on the Gulf Coast and for the soldiers in Iraq, if they knew more about what was going on. And they're just not being told about it. And we mentioned this before the other day, Sarge, about the Saints being in there, and everyone's talking about how wonderful it is in the city, but it's not wonderful in the city. And just because the football team's doing well is not an indication of what's really going on there.
Well, if you go and read my article that I've got posted at Unreported News, I've got a story that came from the Washington Post, I think it was, believe it or not. It said that tells how Haley Barbour is going around telling this story that everything's doing really fine, that we're recovering really wonderful down here, and we're having virtually no problems. And it points to what a bad job the Louisiana mayor is doing compared to him. And then the article says, but the facts do not bear this out.
Well, it never does, and that's just a shame. And they can just keep on lying. Listen, Sarge, I hate to cut you off, but we got a break coming up here.
All righty, and thank you. Have a good one.
Thank you, too, Sarge. Man, I love having Sarge come on, and I always hate having to cut somebody off like that. I really, really do. I know radio guys have to get used to that, but I do not like it. Let's take our last break here. We've got 10 minutes or so left in the show, and we'll be back with more with the last 10 minutes or so of the head of the Cup of Joe radio show here on the Head On Radio Network.
There's one place on the web you can go that's so topical you can apply it liberally. WD40.com. WDYAD40.com. Wad Wally and Doofy are there. They're working hard every day to give you updates in the news, politics, and a great sense of humor. So stop on by and see the boys at WD40.com, a place where you can raise your voice and be heard. WD40.com. Your one-stop shop for all things progressive.
Obviously need to address the issue of the Saddam Hussein execution. Have seen the video that was taken on a cell phone, or have read about the circumstances surrounding the execution. It's pretty evident that the absolutely worst thing that could have happened with the carrying out of the sentence after the long trial of Saddam Hussein happened. And if we had sat down and made a list and said, all right, here's a list of six or seven different things that could happen, what would be the very, very worst thing that could happen, not only for us, for the United States, but for the world and for the Iraqis themselves? And it seems to me that if not first, then definitely second would have been what indeed did happen.
The Dr. Bill O'Brien Show, Tuesday to Thursday, noon to 2 Eastern, here on the Head On Radio Network.
All the chicks are crazy for a certain burly wolf, a real sharp curly.
Broadcast veteran Jeff Allen Wolf brings his gig to the internets. From sunny Arizona, weekdays 9 to noon Eastern Time on the Head On Radio Network. For more information, go to headonradionetwork.com.
Just to hold his paw and sing. Oh, Wolfie, oh, Wolfie, ain't you the one? Oh, Wolfie, oh, Wolfie, ain't we got...
Wednesday night prayer meeting on Head On with Bob Kincaid opens up a whole new realm of spirituality. Touch others. Reach out and touch faith. Join Brother Bob every Wednesday night for prayer meeting services here in the Tabernacle of Common Sense. Only on the Head On Radio Network and chat at headonradionetwork.com.
This is the Head On Radio Network.
Okay, and we are back on the show. Thanks to my friend Sarge for calling in. That's unreportednews.net, and that's a really spiffy-looking site now. When I first logged onto it weeks ago, it really, you know, it was you know, great stuff, but aesthetically it wasn't pleasing. Now it's really, really nice, very well put together. And I highly recommend everybody go there. And I keep kind of remembering to put the link up on my blog. But then again, I only get about 100 hits a day. So putting it up on my blog is not really going to help very much. But I get more listeners to the show here, I assume. And that's a little bit better publicity. I was going to give the number to call, but you know what? We only got about 10 minutes left, so I'm not going to do that. I'm just going to continue to talk about the things I've been talking about. Look, the Bush administration is organized crime. I mean, other shows will sit there and they'll quote statistics and they'll quote numbers and blah, blah, blah. You don't need me to tell you about what's going on in your life. You don't need me to tell you that you're working harder for less money and less security for your future. You don't need me to tell you that your pensions are being stolen or are threatened to be stolen. by some pointy-headed college Republican type who's just trying to make points with their boss by trying to figure out a way how to your pension can be stolen. And how much and how little you can make. You know, are the evil people at Walmart, they've got another thing going on. Hang on a second. And I actually read this quite a while ago, but I didn't have had a chance to talk about it just yet because I always keep rambling and I never forget what I want to say. I always forget what I want to say. But apparently they're having what they call flex scheduling, where they'll call people in during their, you know, the busy hours and let people go when things slow down so that you're only basically there when they really need you. And you have no idea, you know, and you know, have no idea. Of course you have every idea of what this does to somebody who's trying to work for a living. I mean, if you can't make plans because you're on call all the time, that's not a life. You know, places like Walmart, places that are retail, and almost every place that you work at, you have a situation where we have bosses and you have employers that demand that you sit there, that you do something every second that you're there. You sit down, can't do that. Take a little break. They don't even like giving you the breaks and the lunch breaks that you're required to by law. They don't like doing that. And unfortunately, hang on a second. I'm trying to wipe my nose there. And you know, and I keep trying to look, it's work, it's not aerobics. You know, the purpose isn't just to be active for every second. You're there to do a particular job. And if you're doing your job and you can sit down and relax for a few minutes because you've got your work done, there's nothing wrong with that. But employers don't see it that way. You know, they're paying you, they own you. That's the way they see it. You are property for that period of time. And some owners are not like that. Some workplaces are not like that. But a lot of places are. And what really sickens me, what really saddens me, is to hear working people brag about how they miss breaks or how they, you know, they don't take breaks or they don't take lunch and blah, 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 and this and that and this and that. Like it's some point of pride with them. And they're getting ripped off. Just plain and true. They're proud of it. And it really bothers me to hear that. You want to take a break, you're just lazy. You're not doing your real job. And, you know, I heard it was the president of the AFL-CIO, and he was talking about the difference between union people and non-union people. And union people understand that you have to stand up for yourself. And non-union people, naively, and he was being very polite the way he said it. I can be a lot cruder. Naively believe that if you work harder and you do a good job, that your employer will reward you. And more often than not, again, I don't have statistics. There's no way of proving anything like this except for, you know, personal experience. More often than not, that's not the case. My son Christopher, I've mentioned this before, he went to work. He was working at a Popeye's chicken place. And when he first started working there, he worked really, really hard, and they were very happy with him. And he was bragging about how happy they were. How hard he was working, and how they were always, you know, asking him to do more stuff. And I said, well, are they paying you more? And he said, well, no, but it's a good sign. I said, they'll just take advantage of you. And he was like, yeah, sure. You know, I'm doing well. I don't care. A few weeks later, he's like, I'm really sick of this. Because not only were they making him do more at work without paying him anymore, they were calling him on his days off, trying to get him to come in every single day. They want you to live for the company. They want you to live in the company. Live for the company. And you're not supposed to have a life of your own. It's not a job, it's your life. And you have to be totally involved with that. Can't take a break. My God, you're sitting down. We're paying you, and you're sitting down. You know, in Walmart, you know, if you take a break and you don't clock out, to them that's considered stealing. But they think it's perfectly all right to let you stay an hour after work without pay. Like, that's not stealing. And that's what a lot of employers do to you. They just steal from you. They just rob you. And a lot of us refuse to recognize that. And because a lot of us refuse to recognize that, that's why we have the type of government that we have. We have a government and we have corporations that are essentially nothing more than organized crime. That's what they are, is organized crime. And we'll let them get away with it. And that's the sad part of it. We let them get away with it. And I use myself as an example. Look, I've always had problems hanging on to jobs, in part because I don't put up with the BS as much as other people. There are other reasons, I'm sure. I know I've got attitude problems. Most of that is because, you know, I don't live for the company. That's my job. I don't live to work, I work to live. However simplistically you want to put it, that's the way I am. And yes, I pay for it a lot. And I'm working on becoming a professional writer. Technically, now I am a professional writer because I have had some stuff that I've written that I've been paid for. That's not how I make my living just yet. But it's a type of really, to be honest, it's really the type of job I'm best suited for because I'm really not a 9-to-5 type of person. I don't think I ever will be a 9-to-5 type of person. And when I call myself the working man, I am, but I'm not. Because I've never really fit in with the working class crowd. But that's okay because I'm for the working class crowd. I want them to be able to go and do their jobs and get paid the money they deserve and get the part of the American pie because the American pie, you know, the money that the corporations are making, and they're making huge profits, that's not trickling down to the employers. That's not trickling down to the employers at all. That's why I don't believe in trickle-down theory. There's only one thing that rolls downhill, people. Anyway, I got to find out if I'm going to work today or not. I may or may not work today. Not saying it because I don't want to work, but there may not be any work for me. It gets that way in the type of job that I have sometimes. And after the show is over, I'm going to call in and find out if I'm going to be working today or not. If not, well, I've got other things that I can do. Send out some more resumes. I got to go downtown and return some stuff to the library. I use the downtown branch because it's so damn big. Chicago's got one of the biggest libraries in the country. I think it's one of the biggest in the world, actually, their new library down here. Anyway, we've got, what have we got coming up next? We've got the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine is coming up. And will he be live? Agnes, is Mark live today? Is he coming on? It's a replay today. Okay, but that's still good because all of Mark Levine's shows are good shows. And, you know, it's a chance to catch a show that you haven't listened to before. And, of course, you can always listen to archives, too. Our archives of all the Head-On Radio Network shows, my show included, are on White Rose Society, whiterosesociety.org, and I want to thank the White Rose Society for putting those archives on. And Ben Birch, in particular, who runs the White Rose Society, he's running a fundraiser right now, as we all are, it seems, because, you know, unlike the right wing, we don't have sugar daddies giving us lots of money to do stuff. I want to thank Agnes for running the show today and doing a wonderful job as a producer. And I want to thank Bob Kincaid. And, of course, my thoughts and prayers go out to him. His dad is still in the hospital, although I hear he's getting released very soon. And we're very hopeful that he can recover from that. In the meantime, I'm going to go and find out if I got to work today. Mark Levine, Inside Scoop with Mark Levine is coming up next. Until Monday, this is Joe Vecchio from the Cup of Joe Radio Show here on the Head On Radio Network. And hey, get back to work.
I want a cup of Joe. I crave a plate of Dave. Open a jar of John. Don't put anything on. I'll chug a jug of George. I'll sip a mug of Doug with the creamer of Steve. How many more does that leave? Give me a pot of Scotch. Heat up a pan of Stan. Throw in a handful of Dick. That'll do every time.
And now, from Washington, the Inside Scoop. All the news the government does not want you to hear. Now, here's your host on the Inside Scoop, Mark Levine.
Good afternoon, America, and welcome to the Inside Scoop. The Democrats are off and running. They've only been in control of Congress for 2 weeks, and already the House Democrats have fulfilled six of the eight major bills that they promised they would pass in their first 100 legislative hours. These bills are supporting things that, well, the great majority of Americans support, but the Republican Congress kept bottled up for many, many years. They don't seem to be that extraordinary. Things like banning lobbyist gifts and travel, ending those secret earmarks, requiring pay-as-you-go legislation, which simply means no more huge government deficits. Republicans were big on spending money we didn't have, on cutting taxes we needed, on passing on huge debt to our